Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, from our study in Galatians chapter 2, we have broadened out into a brief study of decision making in the will of God, how to determine God's will in our lives. And we saw in the last couple of broadcasts how Paul was generally guided in his decisions, and not always the same way, but sometimes simply by personal desire, oftentimes by circumstances, recognizing that God, who is sovereign, orders the circumstances in our lives, recognizing that God, who is sovereign, creates and directs the desires of our heart. That's how we can be guided by personal desires. We can believe that if we are surrendered to the Lord, that our desires are God-honoring desires, God-given desires. So, by personal desire, on the one hand, by circumstances, on the other hand, occasionally by revelation, as in Galatians chapter 2, when he says, I went up by revelation, talking about his trip to Jerusalem. Or other times when, for example, the Macedonian vision, the man beckoned to them and said, come over to Macedonia. And Paul and the others took that as being a revelation from God. But to talk about this a little bit further, I think we need to explore the question, what do we mean when we talk about God's will? Do we mean God's revealed will? Do we mean God's secret will? And I do think it's important that we understand what these two terms mean and how to distinguish between them. What do we mean by the term God's revealed will? Well, there are two things. God reveals his will, number one, in what he declares in the Bible. The Bible is God's revealed will. We can say, for example, that it is God's will that we not steal. Why? Because his word tells us. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. The epistles of Paul to the Ephesians, for example, when he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. So we know it's God's revealed will that we not steal. We don't have to pray about that. We don't have to wonder about that. I sometimes get amused and even discouraged at people who tell me that they're praying about something that the Bible has already told us about. Some of you have never been baptized. You claim to be a Christian? Probably are. I mean, I don't know the heart, but if you're interested in spiritual things, you're listening to Christian radio, very likely that you are a Christian, that God has transformed your life. God has regenerated your soul. God has given you new life. Now, do you need to pray about whether or not it's God's will for you to be baptized? No. That's revealed in the Bible. You don't have to pray about that. You just need to obey it. You don't need to pray about whether God wants you to love your wife, husbands. You just need to obey it. God's word tells us, husbands, love your wives. That's not something we have to wonder about, and it's certainly not something we have to pray about. That's just something we have to submit to. So, it's God's will. What he reveals in his word is his will. That's one thing that we can call the will of God, what God declares in his word. But a second thing that we can recognize as God's revealed will is what God allows in his providence. What do you mean by that? Well, if God allows it, it is evidently his will. Psalm 76, and verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you, with the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself. What does that mean? Well, surely the wrath of man shall praise you. In other words, man's wrath is his anger, his defiance, his rebellion against God. So, that's not good that man should defy God, be angry with God, rebel against God. But this verse tells us that God allows as much of that as will bring him glory. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. How so? Well, because God has a way of using it. With the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself. God can take the anger, hostility, and rebellion of man and, as it were, gird up his garments and dress himself with that and accomplish his purposes with that. So, whatever God allows in his, what we call providence, is his will. And you say, how can you be so sure? Well, because if God is able to restrain sin, then, and I'm talking now about one area of providence, but I'm talking about the most extreme area when I'm talking about sin. If God is able to restrain sin, and he doesn't, then evidently God has a purpose for it. It is his will to use it for his purposes, for his glory. And so what this means is that sometimes God may decree or purpose what his revealed word opposes. And this gets very complicated, I suppose. It is a bit complicated. And it gets very troubling to some people because this is tension. It's hard for us to deal with tension. But just think it through. Don't get discombobulated. Think it through. Is it God's will for men to murder? No. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt do no murder. That's God's revealed will. It is not God's will for people to commit murder. Was it God's will for Jesus Christ to be crucified? Yes. Was it his will for an innocent man to be killed? Because he certainly had done nothing to deserve crucifixion. The answer is yes. So, you see, his decreed will is, in this case, different from his revealed will. Is it God's revealed will that men shall be put to death unjustly? Men shall be executed without having committed a crime? Of course not. That's a miscarriage of justice. That's in opposition to God's revealed will. But that is God's will, that Christ die on the cross. It is an occasion of God using the wrath of men for his purposes, the wrath of men to praise him. Men were angry with Christ. They were vehemently angry with Christ. They were determined to destroy him. They hated him. They wanted to crucify him unjustly, sinfully, and they'll be held responsible for their sin. And yet, God determined that he should be put to death. It was God's will that he be crucified, even though the people who crucified him violated God's revealed will. In the Old Testament, the case of Joseph is a clear example of that. And that becomes very clear because Joseph himself said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good." Is it God's revealed will that men should take somebody and sell him into slavery? Somebody who had done no wrong? Somebody that they were just jealous of, angry with? Was that righteous? Was that good? Was that in keeping with God's will? No. That's opposed to everything that's godly and that God has revealed in his will. And yet it was God's will that Joseph be sold into slavery. It was God's will that he be betrayed by Potiphar's wife. I mean, that was wrong. She lied. She was sinful. She bore false witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness. She bore false witness against him, accused him of a crime that he did not commit. In fact, the very opposite was true. He was righteous and determined not to commit sin with her, And it made her so angry that he would not bend to her wishes that she falsely accused him of trying to force himself on her and got him thrown into jail. Lie, lie, lie. Sinful depravity. Is that God's will? It's certainly not God's revealed will. It's contrary to God's revealed will. But was it God's will for Joseph to go to prison? It was. God had a purpose in that. God used all that. God raised him up. God made him next to Pharaoh. God used that to preserve his family from famine, to preserve the nation. The thing that the brothers did that was wrong, God used for good. The thing that Potiphar's wife did that was wrong, God used for good. In fact, everything that God allows, he uses for his purposes. He uses for good. That's why we can know that Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. How can bad things in my life, sinful things, things that other people do against me sinfully, how can that work out for good? Because God is so great. God is sovereign. God is wise. God is powerful. God is able to restrain every evil thing that he will not use for his glory. And God is able to allow those sinful things that can be used for his glory, and yet he will hold the sinner responsible for his sinful disobedience. It doesn't let men off the hook. It doesn't make them not accountable for what they've done that is wrong. God judges according to his revealed will. You knew that was wrong. I said, thou shalt not steal, and you deliberately stole. I said, thou shalt not kill, and you murdered. I said, thou shalt not bear false witness, and you perjured yourself and bore false witness against others. You will stand accountable for your violation of my law. You will be judged for these things that you did that were wrong. But you see, God has the power to stop those things. If it were not in God's plan, his purpose, to allow these things to happen, then they wouldn't happen. Now, some people can never look at it that way, but you need to look at it that way. You don't understand God. You don't understand the Bible. You don't understand how big God is. You don't understand how God has a purpose, even in the evil and sinful things of this world, of which there are so many, but God is using all of these things to accomplish his purposes and to bring glory to himself and to bring good to his children. He has wise and gracious purposes in all of this. And whatever God allows is his will. If it happens, it's God's will. Was it God's will for me to get up this morning? Evidently it was, because it happened. If God didn't want me to get up this morning, he could have caused me to die during the night. He could have withdrawn my breath. He could have sent some debilitating illness so that I wasn't able to get out of bed. I mean, a number of things could have happened if that wasn't God's will for me to get up this morning, but it was God's will for me to get up this morning. How do I know? Because that's what happened. I got up. That was God's will. So we need to know what we're talking about, and we're talking about God's will. Are we talking about God's revealed will? Are we talking about God's secret will? And we'll have to take that up again, Lord willing, on Monday. I trust you'll join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman, Bible Teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.